are again, Reflections in the Dark. Firefall. Oh, we didn't even get started. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't even do this. I quit. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to quit. Being silly in balmy 74-degree Orlando, Florida, under clear skies. Here we are once again. Oh, Joe, we can't do this, brother. We got to stop meeting like this. Okay, it's been a long day. We spoke already today, and we're off to the races. And I think I lost them. Okay, flying.
I can't. Man, this is getting crazy. I didn't do anything wrong. You just blurted it out, and that's it. And now I'm crying.
That was funny. I didn't do anything wrong. All right. That's
usually, fine. Yeah, but usually I'll say something, you know. But you just went off the gate and started laughing, like you lost it yourself. I still don't know what you lost it for, but it's good to be here. I'm glad that we're laughing now. Welcome to. I'll do the intro. Welcome to Reflections in the Dark, on Firefall Talk Radio. Joe Citrone with Richard Grun. It's good to be here. And Richard, what do you think? What did you think about the Super Bowl? Let's go right to the Super Bowl. Being okay. In New England, you being out there in Florida, how did you perceive the Super Bowl?
Tell you what, first half was brutal. I'm not sure what you said. Hey Siri, shut up. Wow, even my iPhone's turned on me. First half was brutal to watch, and I'm figuring, okay, turned it off, went to watch something else, and my son wrote me and said, are you watching this? And I said, no. He goes, well, you should. And next thing I know, you know, originally they were down by 28-3. Then all of a sudden they came back and tied it at the end and won it in overtime, and Brady was Brady, and there we are.
Well, my thoughts on the whole thing is, you know, you can say, you know, the arguments or the questions are, did Atlanta beat themselves or did the Patriots win? And I have to say on this that I think the Patriots won.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots, you know, I think Atlanta was not expected to get that far, you know, as far as playing them like that and getting a lead, you know, that far out. I think the Pats were shell-shocked a little bit. But once they were in focus, once they realized what they needed to do, once they made some adjustments, they knew how to pretty well dictate everything. And that's where Brady becomes Brady. And the experience of being on a Super Bowl winning team, such as the Pats, will rise to the occasion. And they knew what to do, when to do it. And I believe if they didn't get off to a bad start like that in the first half, they might have won by 17 points at this point. You know, I give Atlanta credit for making it to the Super Bowl. And of course, obviously, the Patriots. I mean, we'll see what this season is going to bring. I know that Brady will be another year older. He'll be coming into the league at that point about at 40 years old. So we'll see what he's doing there. But congratulations to the Pats. Great Super Bowl. But I want to say one thing, Richard, and we'll move on. But let me say one thing about football. Like the NBA was back in the time with Michael Jordan when Chicago Bulls got on that run of winning 6 championships. If you remember, after Chicago, basketball wasn't basketball anymore. Right. You had one or two good teams that you could always count on being there, and everybody else just kind of was existing. And I've seen for the past 2 years the NFL being like that. You're seeing the same teams there, you know, the Pittsburgh, Green Bay, you know, Giants, you're seeing those same, New England, you're seeing those same teams there. And the ones that are, you know, second, third, that running up in the wild card, you almost can predict who's running out of gas, who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. And it seems like really like the Chicago Bulls had that run of those 6 championships. The New England Patriots reminds me of that Chicago's Bulls team in a weak NFL state right now. I really feel that the NFL is not the same anymore. The rules, what they're doing, the officiating.
Too many teams. Right. Too many watered-down talent that shouldn't even be on the field. But I'll give the Patriots credit. The owner, Robert Kraft, won't go over the salary cap, won't pay big money. He rebuilds the team every year, and they find a way to win. And I think it's because of Belichick and Brady. And once Brady's gone, it's over. He's you know, drafted 199th in the sixth round in the 2000. Nobody wanted him. And he sat on the bench for, I think, 2 to 3 years before Bledsoe got hurt, and he's never looked back. And it's a tremendous, inspirational story. But in watching the game, when I turned it back on and I realized, oh, my goodness, he's going to do it again, Atlanta was out of gas. And what was really sad to watch is the Atlanta owner and his wife and family had come out of the stands midway through the fourth quarter, obviously, to stand there and to celebrate and get ready to win their first championship. And the camera kept panning to him, and he kept looking sicker and sicker. And then when the Patriots won the coin toss, you could see on his face they knew they were going to lose. And, I mean, it's the comeback of all time. But, you know, the thing about the NFL, it's funny you brought that up, is I don't really watch it anymore. I don't like what they do politically. And now they're trying to force North Carolina, transgender law, where they want to allow men to use the women's bathroom, and the NFL trying to strong-arm them. And it's just like, you know what? Play sports. Act or sing and leave the political stuff alone. So to be honest with you, without the draw of Brady and the Patriots and all of that, I don't suspect many people are going to be watching the NFL much longer.
And that's exactly what you just say. Just like the New York Yankees, right. Just like the LA Lakers, you either like them or you hate them. But at least if you hate them, it gives you something to watch. You take those teams out of the equation. I'm telling you, and you just hit it. When Brady is gone, the Pats fans, you know, all those teams, all those fans that stuck it out with the Patriots before Brady, you know, putting bags over their heads, sitting in the stands, all the things that were happening, this was like a blessing to them for the past, you know, 15 years, say. But you take Brady out of the equation, think about it. What is the AFC without the Patriots?
Yeah. And they get paid a lot of money to play football. I mean, a lot of money to play a game for about a third of the year. And now they're getting political, and it's all gotten ugly. And normally about this time I'd say, hey, spring's around the corner. That means spring training, opening day for the Yankees 50 days away. But the truth is, with Jeter gone and the Yankees not even really being the Yankees, I don't have much to root for. Which is okay. I don't have enough time to do anything else, so I don't really have time to watch sports. But it kind of takes away your youth. The things of your youth that kept you young and kept you excited are faded away.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, me being a Red Sox fan, you know, you being New York, me being the Red Sox, those Red Sox-Yankee games were great games. And, you know, Yankees won a lot, and they've been a great team for many decades. But you're right. You take certain teams out of the equation, what makes it fun? And that's why I said, if you take the Patriots out of the equation, and obviously Dallas Cowboys, you know, have not been America's team, so to speak. You know, you just take them all out of the equation. The NFL really doesn't have much leg to stand. It's become political. Everything that was going on with Goodell. I think the only attack and the only thing that made this season powerful is the fact that Brady coming off the suspension, you know, and then winning and being able to do that. That made the season. Without that, I don't know who would be. You had the guy for the Raiders getting injured, right? Think about that. Yeah. You had him getting injured. So you had the Texans, you had the Steelers, you had Kansas City. You still didn't really have that powerhouse team.
Well, as far as ratings go, the NFL couldn't have afforded for any of those teams to win. They needed it to be what it was so that people would tune in. And then, of course, the halftime show, which I did not watch, which was Lady Gaga, And apparently, you know, and I'm not prepared to talk about this tonight because we have something else to talk about, but I didn't watch it. And then I see the post on social media. Oh, my goodness, so patriotic. She kept her opinions to herself. The best ever. And this is from people that should know better. And I'm thinking, no, no, no. This is still Lady Gaga. This is still the darkness inside of her. This is still the woman who believes what she believes and does what she does. She just covered it up in smoke and mirrors and glitter. But then you see the song she chose, and she did very subtle political commentary, but it's just all smoke and mirrors and deception and all this craziness that's going on, and so many people are just deceived. It's almost frustrating, and if you're listening and you want to write me, go to supernaturalresponse.net, firefalltalkradio.com, and come right into the chat room right now here on Spreaker.com. But the point is this. We need to keep our eyes open. We've been doing the show almost 7 years, saying wake up, finally awake, back to basics, all that stuff. And you wonder, is anybody getting it? And that's why we're just going to go straight prophecy, paranormal, as you eat whatever it is you're eating on the air. What are you eating? What are you eating?
Well, you know what? Did
you bring enough for everybody?
I'm actually not eating, but what it was is it's a piece of gum.
Oh, you see,
that's what you heard.
Mr. Citrone, did you bring enough gum for everybody?
No, I did not.
Ah, see? Anyway.
I did not. But you're right. I'm listening to you. I'm getting engulfed in the conversation, and there I go chewing.
I remember that as a kid going to Catholic school. Richard, did you bring enough for everybody? And then one day I did. One day I brought like 30 pieces. Oh, boy, did I get my butt whooped. Anyway, something happened this weekend that opened up a research into some other things. Friday night, we had a snow moon lunar eclipse, a penumbra eclipse with a comet, with the side order of comet. A penumbra is a phenomenon which occurs when the moon moves through the outer part of the Earth's shadow, and the outer shadow of the Earth blocks part of it, but not all of it. So the sun's rays kind of reach the moon, and it's darker than usual. It's the full moon of February, called the snow moon or the hunger moon by the Native Americans. Mr. Citrone, settle down. Settle down now. I'm going to put your desk outside. And I thought about this whole hunger moon, snow moon, a time of harshness. And then the comet went by. So I started doing some research on all this. And I am not attributing value to a lot of what the Native Americans thought spiritually. But even in the midst of error or false teachings, there are truths. Truths that we should examine. The full moon of January for the Native Americans was called the wolf moon, and that's simply because cold, deep snows, the wolf packs howled, they were hungry outside the villages. Then we had the snow moon or the hunger moon, which meant it's going to be no harvest, there's no food, hunting's difficult. And then right behind that, in March, we have something called the worm moon, which means the ground's beginning to thaw, and bringing the return of the robins and the crops. But the other thing about this particular moon in March, it's also called the full crow moon, and we know what crows signify in the demonic. It's the end of winter. So a lot of the people, not just the Native Americans, the Egyptians, the Sumerians, almost all the cultures, they believe that the lunar eclipse means something. I paid attention to it just simply because we know when the moon is next to the earth, it creates a pull on gravity, it creates a pull on your mind, it causes you to move around a lot and chew gum. this is going to be bad. So we did some research, and I want to share it with you out there. As we talk about it, and you listen, you have questions, you write. If I can answer them, I will. If not, we'll talk about them on the show. In the occult world, the Wiccan world, the supernatural world, everything that's going on now and will happen later on this summer have powerful significance to them, and they're preparing for it. The February moon, in according to the Wise Witches Society, yes, that is actually what they call themselves, it's a magical time where purity affects you. It clears your soul. The house fairies, F-A-E, fairies, they are predominant. Mysticism is heightened in both the natural and the physical universe. And in their mindset, the divine voice, which we know is not divine with a capital D, as with, or a capital G, but of one of the other spirits, allows you to experience it more deeply. So the lunar eclipse and the solar eclipse have great meaning. The Jewish rabbinic tradition out of the Talmud, this is what they mean. A solar eclipse, and remember this part for later on, the solar eclipse is a bad omen for idolaters. A lunar eclipse is a bad omen for Israel. A red moon, which we had a tetrad of, a red moon lunar eclipse, means a sword is coming for the whole world. Black moon lunar eclipse means famine for the whole world. Both red and black means sword and famine, and it goes on. Now, when you add a comet into the picture, it offers an incredibly bad omen. Now, I don't know, Joe, how much you pay attention to that stuff anymore. But when I see these reports and I begin to tie them all together, I start to look, as we do in SRT, let me debunk it, let me take out what has no value, and then see what's really going on supernaturally.
No, I agree. I don't really follow it as much as I used to. Obviously, for SRT and research purposes, I always want to keep on what's going on, especially when we talked about the snow moon and what was happening on Friday. I happened to come out about 6:30 at night and seen the moon, and it was a full bright moon. And for me, Richard, I don't know if it goes to you too, but being, you know, doing what we do at SRT, you can just look at the moon and you can look at the weather or a specific weather pattern, and you just can sense something's not right or something supernatural is going on. And I think that's what it is for me so much. I mean, yeah, we do the research on it, but I definitely looked at that moon Friday and I'm like, you know something? It just doesn't feel right. And you're right. It didn't feel right looking at it. And you just wonder now, when you're dealing with the various different beliefs out there, the Indians, the pagans, how they're viewing that, the transitioning of ending, say, winter going into spring, the energy, what they're looking for, where their heightened power is. I think that's where we look at the phases of the moon now. I think it's really of where they peak in their belief and where they believe they're getting their power source from on the different parts of that. And just like you talk about the crow's moon, which I believe another word for that is the sap moon, for that as well. But yeah, no, I definitely, you know, when you tie that in, especially like when you talk about a blood moon, I mean, do you think, well, let me ask you a question. What power source is being drawn out by this phase of the moon? Who is profiting on that in their beliefs?
Well, if we take the signs and the stars and the sky and the moon and like the rabbinic interpretations, and then we add to that the counterfeit of the fallen and what they're doing, I think it's supposed to be warnings to us as believers, to the world. We should be preparing, we should be praying, and I agree with you. When I go out at night with the dogs, sometimes it's either really late at night or really early in the morning, depending upon their needs. I'll stand there and I'll look up at the moon and I'll pray, and which I do. I like to pray during that time. And there are just some nights that you're looking over your shoulder, it feels wrong. It feels like something has been empowered, something has plugged in, and that particular night was one of them. The full moon always indicates to me Maybe it's because of Hollywood or whatever. It always indicates to me horror or terror. And is the enemy using that gravitational input? Are they feeding it, or are they using people's interest in it? It's something I'm going to probably spend some more time studying after doing all this research, because something's going on here. Something's with the veil between the worlds, as thin as it is, in my opinion. And everything that the world is doing, the bloodshed, the murders, the agitation, the violence that we're seeing in our culture. I mean, I get it. People are upset the election didn't go their way. They don't agree with some things. But what we're seeing, the violence, the unprovoked attacks, it's demonic. It's clearly not natural. These people are riled up to a point that if something doesn't change, we're headed towards both a natural and spiritual calamity. And in the midst of all that, we have these events. Now you look at the what happened there, and then right behind it, not too long after, that eclipse, Comet 45P, went flying by. And in all of the science articles I read, nobody paid much attention to it, said, oh, this is just an added attraction. I knew that wasn't right. And when you start doing the research, and you read all the way back to the Greeks and the Babylonians, when you add a comet, a sign of a comet, to an eclipse, a lunar eclipse, every culture unequivocally said, this is bad. It means judgment. It's a warning of judgment is coming. Ancient historians said it caused calamities. Well, I'm not trying to, you know, be a rabble-rouser and... I'm just trying to get people to understand, doing what we do, we see things a little differently. But when a comet appears with an eclipse, it's a herald of some sort. A comet in and of itself is a herald of worldwide events, a rise or a fall of a ruler or nations. So when you have an eclipse comet, it means, especially if you go by the Hebrew calendar, they're in the very middle of the moon's dark phase. It's the first day of the month. It begins at sunset, and we're heading into a period of calamity. This comet, this is the eighth closest pass of any comet in the modern era since 1950. It was 31 times, it was only 31 times farther from the Earth than the moon, so it was pretty close. You add to that the full moon, snow moon, hunger moon, whatever, lunar eclipse, then the comet right behind it. All my bells and whistles went off. And then I was talking to one of the listeners of our show and of the porch, Brian in Tennessee, and he said, hey, have you heard about the solar eclipse in August? And I went, no. And then it was just like, you know, the light bulb moments went off. But I don't know if you saw this last week at the same time all of this was getting ready to happen. There were large fireballs in the sky all over the world, all over the United States, from Wisconsin and Illinois to Brazil. Just as this comet was coming, the American Meteor Society received 170 reports from Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Idaho, Iowa, New York, Ontario, Kentucky and Minnesota about fireballs in the sky. What's up with that?
Listen, it can't get any crazier. When you think it can, it always tops it. I don't know. As far as the fireballs in this, well, listen, we have dealt with fireballs in the sky, strange sounds, earth-making sounds. And I think you said it best. You know, we study, we do what we have to do to understand what is going on supernaturally in the world, and also what's happening on a scientific level. And whether you have beliefs or not, you still can't deny that what we're seeing in the sky and the events and certain things that are taking place, whether you are a believer in the supernatural realm or just somebody that's following the patterns, you can definitely detect that there's something going on. If you don't believe it on a supernatural level, then I think I would worry more on a natural level. What's going to happen to us? Where is all this alignment leading us to? Is, you know, what is that introduction? Who's coming? What's coming? I think that's really what's scary to me. And I was thinking about that the other day. I know, like, you used to get your big aha moments and light bulb moments where you would be like, I don't know what's coming, but it's something dark. And I remember you telling me there was a time that you were actually scared. You're like, all you were do is, well, you were attacked with just fear of what's coming. And I think right now, when you see what's happening politically in the world, what's going on with our country, what's happening supernaturally, as you know, with the veil being torn, with all the stuff, and people are doing so many different things, and the incantations, and the paranormal investigating. We know that's being taken care of. But what's also going on in space, in the world right now? And that's what's scary to me. I think what is happening right now is changing everybody at an energy level, and we'll use the term energy. I think it's effect. There is something, and we said it before, there is something that's affecting everybody in the world that has given us this disconnect. And I think watching the show that we did at the the halftime show, and things that we've been seeing, are little things to kind of give us those subliminal messages. But I don't know if that's good enough anymore, Richard. I think we've come to a part where the only thing that's, you know, the only thing next to happen to us is something earth-shattering, something supernatural. I think we have pretty well paved the way for everything else and anything else to happen. And I think the sign of the times right now is what's happening in the sky. And what's happening in the sky is very scary. And those fireballs, you know, I did a little tiny research on them, not much, but I don't know if that's the type of situation that can happen to us and attack us. Like these fireballs, let me ask you this question. On these fireballs, do you see us getting hit with a natural disaster, like an earthquake, like those fireballs? Is that the introduction to the end times? Is that something that we could say that is ringing in this whole new spiritual transformation? Is it going to be through a natural disaster?
I think it'll be all those things. Because as you were talking, I'm visualizing the next part of this conversation, dealing with the solar eclipse of 2017. When you look at where these things are happening, and we know it's energy, we know that some of these fireballs, these comets explode, and people said it was like an EMP attack. It was like a bomb went off. We know the animals are responding to it. The sounds are happening. The solar, the lunar eclipse. We know that the planets resonate because NASA has their sounds. You can listen to the sound. All of this energy is resonating. The earth is in discord. People are in discord. Those of us that have the authority to do something, there aren't enough of us doing it. And so I think it's all going to collide at once. All you need is one of these comets or groups of them, because they're coming in groups, is to hit an area where there's a caldera, where there's a volcano, where there's a plate shifted enough to go off, and we're off to the races. You just look at the news. And again, I lived through the 60s. I watched the riots. I watched the protest. But I've never seen anything like I'm seeing now. It's irrational. It's unhinged. And we're building up to a cataclysm on all these levels. And, you know, going back to the Lady Gaga thing, I watched a clip of it afterwards, especially the opening. But I did it without the sound, so I wasn't influenced by the music. And what I saw was a fallen angel falling out of the sky. because she was on, she was supposedly, they did this cutaway. She's up on top of the arena singing, and then she falls into the audience on cables and begins singing. And I immediately thought, Fallen Angel. Fallen Angel. She's got the glitter. She's got the sparkle. She's got all this stuff. So the subliminal message there and the people reacting to it and all of this stuff, and here we sit in the middle of it trying to understand it, trying to combat it, which sometimes feels like putting your finger in a leak in a dam. You don't think it's doing anything. And that's exactly how I felt this morning when I got done researching this and thinking about the next things for SRT and what I believe we're called to do and what I've been doing for 28 plus years in ministry and for 7 years on this show. You sit there and you wonder, wow, am I really doing anything? Are we getting anything done? Are we making a difference? I mean, I hope we are, and I'm not saying that to manipulate a response or compliments. I'm telling you the truth. Because this week I got a phone call from somebody I ministered to when I was in Tallahassee. She had a need. Daughter got involved in the occult. They wanted some help. And you sit here, okay, where's the church? Where are they? What are they doing? We've all been given the same authority. We've been all been given the same commission, and yet the cage is open and the enemy's running amok. What are they going to do when the pit gets opened? What are they going to do when these things come out of the pit, full-blown days of Noah? And I think what we're going to see this summer, and I don't want to run out of time here, is going to do that. But let's just talk about a solar eclipse. What is this, you know, to the Chinese, a solar eclipse meant dragons were devouring the sun. To the Czechoslovakians, it meant ice giants were conquering their bitter enemy, the sun. To the Romans, it meant the sun was poisoned and dying. To the Jews, a solar eclipse meant the moon, was a portent of danger and judgment. And of course, we know the astronomers will tell you that it's merely a cosmic event where the trajectory of the moon sometimes crosses the plane of the sun. There was a Swedish scientist, philosopher, and theologian, and some called him a mystic, from the 16th and 1700s, Emanuel Swedenborg, best known for his books on the afterlife, heaven, and hell. He was also an inventor and a scientist, and he saw everything from a mystical, somewhat biblical book of Revelation perspective. And here's what he thinks, and we can talk about this. He said, in the ancient and remote ages, humans perceived that all phenomena was in nature had both a psycho and spiritual realities, meaning it was more than just natural, it was supernatural. And that God was using both the natural and the supernatural to speak to us, to warn us. He said, like the sun symbolized God's love, the heat and the warmth of the sun, truth and light. Just like the sun itself provides energy and thermodynamics for physical and terrestrial and even, we believe, interdimensional life. We know that we're made up of energy. I believe that the earth was created to absorb the rays of the sun to keep us alive and to feed us and to do all those things. The moon symbolizes the human mind. And if you go to all the mystical and New Age websites, the moon is about the human mind, human intellect, the reasoning. But when the sun and the moon cross paths and we go from light to darkness, they think, I'm talking the mystics and Swedenborg, it's a time of false reasoning in the darkness. Wow, if that doesn't apply to where we are right now, the irrationality of people. According to the Talmud, that when you have a solar eclipse, it means God has taken the lantern from you and placed you in darkness.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said when I read that. The lantern has been removed and you've been placed in darkness. Now, this particular solar eclipse on August 21st of 2017, it's only for a short period of time. I think it lasts for like 2 minutes. It lasts for 1 minute and 58 seconds, but to cross the 10 states of the United States, it'll take it about an hour or so. And I looked at that knowing what I believe to be how God measures time. supernaturally and spiritually, is this a portent that it's about to happen? Is this a portent that he's about to remove the lampstands from the false teachers, from the false churches, from places that he should speak Ichabod over, which is the declaration, my glory has departed, meaning they're just businesses, they're man-made entities. So basically, here's what it is, folks. On August 21st, 2017, for the first time since 1979, and before that, you have to go back to 1970. But the last one occurred in February of 1979. The sun and the moon and the earth are going to line up with the moon directly in between the sun and the earth, casting a shadow. In certain areas, it will be a perfect shadow. It will be a totality of the sun being blocked out. And it starts in Salem, Oregon, and it will travel across 10 states, Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Kansas, Iowa, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, and it settles in South Carolina before heading out to sea and then heading to the coast of Africa. And when you look at where it starts, the first time it hits the earth, it starts right in the middle of the Ring of Fire, the Pacific Rim. And it and that really struck me when I looked at that. It goes from the Pacific Rim across the United States, across the ocean, and ends just before the coast of Africa. And I got goosebumps while I'm talking about it. There's something about this 2 minutes and 40 seconds for us, you know. There's something about the time. It's an hour and a half over the United States, the shadow, and then it's gone. But the visual is this, and if anybody else out there gets any insight, please share it. When it hits the Ring of Fire on that curve of the earth, it splits the United States into north and south. It cuts it completely in half from Salem, Oregon to Charleston, South Carolina. And you know where it ends? It ends on the 33rd parallel.
Listen, my light bulbs would have been flying. I'm sure your light bulbs were flying when you were doing all that research. That see, if there's one thing that I can say, you know, being involved with SRT and just being part of this, the whole supernatural realm, things happen that are unexplainable, and you can't just say they're coincidence. There's a time where everything is aligned so perfectly that you know it was created or done or happening on a supernatural level. And when you were talking, it was the same thing. I was getting that whole thing from the Lady Gaga coming down, you know, fallen angel, that representation of just kind of segueing down here, that falling star, to what's happening in August and how that central location is hitting all those areas, Kansas. I mean, that is pivotal. But when you start talking about 33, you know, the first thing we're going to think of is we're going to think of the Masons. We're going to think of the 33rd capstone, you know, that 33rd degree. I mean, you can't make that up. And it goes beyond coincidence. So you wonder who and what is aligning these things to happen precisely at the times they're happening.
Well, we know nature is, but I believe while you're talking, here's what I heard in my head.
Okay.
Because I visualized it going from the Ring of Fire from Salem, Oregon. It goes over the top of some major portals and vortex mountains. And then hits the 33rd parallel before it jumps off in the water. And what I heard in my head was wireless charging. I'm not sure yet what that means, because when we look at what the Wiccans and the New Age believe, I think we'll answer the question. The solar eclipse that's happening then is happening at what they believe is a turbocharged new moon. A time of rituals where everything is a blank canvas, and this turbocharged new moon is a cosmic reboot. It's a flow of energy, and it's both a disruption and an amplification. Now, get ready for this. This one website said ghosts take advantage of this heightened time to create a variety of issues that have global negative repercussions, that the negative energies, which we know are demonic, but the negative energy is concentrated and amassed into black energy, and it becomes a primary weapon. And that's when you're talking, I looked at my notes and I heard wireless charging. So are all the things that are on the earth and in the earth, the stuff that we deal with, things we shut down, the portals, the princes, the principalities, during that 2 minutes of time, are they absorbing black negative energy? Is there something going on here? Because we know what happens the 33rd parallel. It runs around the earth very specific places. It ties Mount Hermon, where the fallen watchers fell, to Roswell, Georgia. And when you look at, and I didn't even know this, I've never done this kind of research, the things that have happened on the 33rd parallel, John F. Kennedy was assassinated right on top of the 33rd parallel. The first atomic bomb in New Mexico, 33rd parallel. We have prisons that have the death penalty in place on the 33rd parallel. Air Forces, an inordinate number of them, 33rd parallel. Phoenix, Arizona, the Phoenix Light, frequent UFO activity, 33rd parallel. Baghdad and Damascus, Syria, line up exactly on the 33rd parallel. The prison, Abu Ghraib, which some people call it like hell on earth, exactly on the 33rd parallel. A significant number of builder mounds, Nephilim mounds, where? On the 33rd parallel. A number of Masonic temples all over the United States, from Oregon to Arizona to Texas, North Carolina, Carson City, and then the very first one, which is on the East Coast, just between Savannah and Charleston. You have Roswell, New Mexico. Myrtle Beach, Sherman, Texas, the Bermuda Triangle, all of these things are within a geographic distance there. Why? What is really going on here? Is this just, you know, freaky deaky woo woo kind of stuff where some guy said, hey, let's do this? Or was there some other dark hand doing this? When you look at Kennedy, Kennedy's murdered on the 11th month, on the 22nd day, on the 33rd parallel. The combination of ones and threes. Where was he murdered? In Dealey Plaza, which is the site of an old Masonic lodge during the Texas Revolution. Did that just happen? No. Solar eclipse, Charleston, South Carolina. The 106 miles away, a Solomon's Lodge 1, the oldest and first Masonic Lodge in America, established in 1734, which is still in effect and still working, considered the Mother Supreme Council of the world. You're telling me this is an accident?
It is definitely not an accident, and these things are happening. And that's what I wanted to bring about and just kind of come full circle with the show. You know, we started off the show talking about various things that are happening, segueing what we see that's going on a scientific level, what is explained by scientists when we're dealing with, you know, the eclipses and the winter equinox. And we can follow all those signs. And we could also follow what other beliefs believe is happening, you know, with the moon and the energy and the powers. But when you start to narrow down specific times, frequencies, and coming up with stuff like the 33rd parallel, then you have to know that no matter where you are in your beliefs, if you did any type of research, you would see that there is something happening. There is a connection that's going with nature that's happening supernaturally. And it's happening on a level that I still believe is being controlled by something. There is some energy that is doing all this stuff as far as what's happening negatively. And there just comes a time where we can't just say it's an energy, it's a frequency. What is causing that energy? What is that energy? And then when you started talking about what are they going to do what are we, you know, meaning the world, when they come out of the pit, when they come out of that pit? I believe what we're seeing now is, I'm not saying they're out of the pit yet, but I believe that, you know, when there's, you remember back in the day when we had dog tracks and, you know, they'd put the dogs, they would take the dogs and they would put them in the kennels. And as the rabbit was coming around, you can hear them starting to bark and get violent in the kennel until they released the dogs and then they went flying out. I look at that, all these little signs and these things that are happening right now is that same type of thing. They're pinned. They're locked up. You can feel them. You know they're ready to come out. They know that they're chomping at that bit, ready to come out. And whatever type of energy that is just coming out right now is kind of giving us little fragments, little residuals prior to their release. And I think they're right at the gate, you know, that they're coming out. I mean, does that make sense to you? I mean, I could be a little bit off on that, but I'm feeling that this tension, this energy, all that's happening now, how everything is perfectly aligning with itself on this supernatural level, that there's something controlling this. There's something that's still able to do a little bit of damage and manipulation from a distance. And I just wonder what's going to happen when that energy is fully released, when those beings are fully let out of the pit. Then what type of impact does that happen? And is this all that introduction? Is this that warm-up act until that big act finally comes out?
Good question. Let me, before I answer that question, for those of you that have been listening live, I do not know what happened. But luckily for us, I automatically record separately the show. Because, brother, somewhere along the line, even though you're still on with me on Skype, and even though I can see we're still recording under my separate recorder, you're no longer going through the Spreaker soundboard. So somebody just sent me a message saying we can hear you, but we can't hear Joe. Don't worry.
Wow.
The minute the show is over, I will upload this separately, and you'll get to hear the whole show. So if you want to click off, I apologize, but I have no idea what happened. Because when we started this show, he was there. And I've done nothing to change the board. So that tells me we're on to something here. We're doing some good stuff.
Well, if you can't hear me, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this one thing. We must have hit on something. And in this conversation over the past few seconds, we were getting close. And that's where I think it all went crazy. We're on to something.
Well, think about this. Taking all these places, and I'm going to, it's going to take me a couple of days. I'm going to follow the path of this, somebody, the people that promote Solar Eclipse 2017, somebody did a flyover on Google Map to show all of the cities that will either be directly in the shadow or on either side of the shadow. I already noticed probably 20 or 30 major New Age sites. I'm curious to see how many sites are going to be triggered by this event and to figure out what's going to happen before and after that day. What's going to be the immediate response that day as this happens? Are we going to see heightened paranormal activity? Are we going to see an uptick in crime or whatever? We know that scientists believe that a full moon affects people's mental states. Crime is higher. Violent crime is higher. Drug overdoses are higher. A lot of those things happen. What's going to happen during the solar eclipse at that time? And what is the enemy preparing for? As you were saying, what are they drawing from this and why now? Well, if the solar eclipse is what they say it is, a portent of danger, the ghost drawing negative energy, getting ready to act out, and it lands on the 33rd parallel and takes that energy, and just follow me here, and slams that energy into the 33rd parallel. So like an electrical wire, it rips around the planet. It's going to go through Baghdad. It's going to go through Damascus, Syria. It's going to go through all the conjunction of the Tigris and the Euphrates. It's going to go through all of these areas that I've mentioned and more. And with the 33rd parallel ties to, get ready for this, Iraq, South Africa, Monaco, India, Pakistan, China, Japan, Israel, Tunisia, Libya, Algeria, Beirut, Syria, Jordan. Well, wait a second. Don't a lot of terrorist activity come from some of those areas? Are all these things getting jacked up? Are all these builder mounds getting ready to turn on, if you will? I believe that they were built for a reason. I don't believe that they were just built as burial sites. I believe that they were built to house something. I believe that the bones that were put in there, they expected to wake up. They wanted their weapons nearby. They wanted to be in the area that they ruled. Now we know the bones have been moved. We don't know where they've been moved. Nobody will admit to it. But those mounds, from having been at one with Larry in the 2012, I know they resonate. I know they have demonic energy. I know they did not like being rebuked and having Larry and I do what SRT does to the land, because standing right in the middle of it, putting in the final seal of the Lord, a blast of wind came through and took me off my feet. Had Larry not been in front of me to catch me, I'd have been face down in the dirt. So something's amping up. Something has plugged in this time, and we're getting subtle warnings in the sky. Nothing that I could turn around and say, scientifically, this is what's going to happen. We're giving you interpretations, spiritual, paranormal, supernatural, whatever you want to call them, from our SRT reflections in the dark perspective. So much so that I believe within this is something SRT has to, mount up, lock and load. There's something to this that SRT needs to respond to. Now, hopefully when the time comes that I put out the word, people will say, yes, I want to support that. But as with other missions, when the Lord says go, we go, no matter what, whether by skin of our teeth or fully funded. But there's something kicking off that we as believers and those of us that do this cannot ignore.
No, I don't think so at all. And you're right. You know, something that you said about a half hour ago, you had mentioned, you know, some of the stuff that we talk about, you talk about, it's not because you're saying it that you want to boast about us or you're asking for somebody to donate. But there comes a time where, what has this show, you know, where do we go in the 7 years? Is what we're doing edifying? Is this helping people out there? You know, what are we supposed to be doing as far as SRT on a level of being on the road, say, and doing various investigations and missions and helping people and reaching people and doing all these things. And you wonder where does that come into the equation, and you know, to what extent are we going to be able to do that? And you kind of go back and forth and you wonder, and then you have to go with the overall picture. And here's what it is. We are doing all those things, but because it was hard to break through and do those things that we needed to, we've always been detained or had that roadblock. And that roadblock, once again, isn't just a coincidental roadblock. It's not because what we're doing is wrong. There is something happening, right, that can't be explained, that those roadblocks are put in there for a reason, because we are on that right track. We're doing those things. And it is like a chess match that's continuously blocking, and then we're getting through blocking, breaking through blocking. And I think what we're seeing now, what's happening right now in the world, I think it's the perfect time to do what we need to do. I think now, 2017, is that time to come out, because you get a figure. We do it from a radio show standpoint, which is great. I know we've helped and reached a lot of people. But when is it time to, like you just said, go? if where to go, then we're going to go no matter what. So I just think that we're on that cusp right now.
You know, if not now, when? If not us, who? And, you know, Lord send us. And I get it. People say, well, if God, then he'll provide. Well, he provides through people. I said this the other night on the porch. Manna doesn't fall from heaven anymore. He inspires people to do, and I think there's been a lot of reasons why it hasn't. But I believe this is the fullness of time. This is an event that needs to be dealt with and prepared for from the perspective that we specifically do things. And when that time comes, you'll definitely know about it. Closing thoughts, brother.
Closing thoughts is we're on to something as far as going on with what's happening in August, and hopefully we will be doing more than eating ice cream together at that point. But I will say this, we are definitely onto something. I think this show was an eye-opener in ways that we can not only look at what's happening supernaturally through, say, you know, the ghost shows and the things that we talk about, but we can actually, on a scientific level, prove what's happening and how it's aligning supernaturally in science. So I think science and the supernatural are coinciding together for something big that's happening. And the only way that we can explain it is based upon the knowledge and experience that we have to talk about a specific sequence of what's going on. But it doesn't take that rocket scientist to know that everything is aligning for something dark that's heading our way.
Amen. Amen. And that's why we do what we do. Tonight's show is called Into the Shadows. We're not completely into the darkness yet. We will be on that day. If you are in an area of totality, you will be that day for a momentary. But the thing that I got, the message I got from that eclipse is this, is that for a brief period of time, we will be in darkness. The enemy will use it. But then the light will come. The darkness is only temporary. It's only for a brief moment in time. And then the light comes. And that's the hope. The hope is that no matter how strong the darkness is, the light is greater. And the darkness cannot last. And we bring the light. That's what the show is about. We shine the dark. We shine the light into the darkness to expose what's hidden there. And every now and then, the captain of the host, the great shepherd, looks at us, his sheepdogs, his special ops team, and he says, go. And we go, and we deal with it, and we confront, and we shut things down, and put things back where they belong. And then we sit down, and we wait for the next set of orders. And these orders are big. These orders that we're sitting on right now are bigger than anything SRT has ever done before. So we will covet your prayers, covet your support as we prepare for what's coming, and hopefully you're preparing spiritually. You're paying attention to what your kids are doing. You're not waiting for your pastor or somebody in your church to do something about it, that you need to do something about it. Hopefully you're listening on Wednesday night to the porch, and you're getting your uncompromised red letter basics, and that you're ready. That's what the show is about. It's about getting you ready. We've been doing this now for almost 7 years. No money is made. We spend money to do it. It takes time to do it, and we do it for you. It's a labor of love. It's a spiritual calling. But more than that, this is not meant to entertain you. This is meant to edify, to educate, and inspire you, and hopefully that's what it does. Let us know. Go to supernaturalresponse.net, firefalltalkradio.com. Again, I apologize for whatever happened tonight, because he was there and then he was gone once I went to the air. But luckily, I always record the show. I will post that as soon as I get off the air. I'm Richard Grunt on behalf of Joe Citrone. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.